38 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of April of the year of our Lord, 2007. As Dr. Doug and Skippy would apparently say. Good morning to you. It's 503-733-2970, live from the plushly appointed yet not really ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It is Monday, and welcome to Day 12. We thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. It's 503-733-2970. If you want to email us, by God, you can do that. It's rick@rickemerson.com, rick@rickemerson.com, with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your what have you. It is 503-733-2970, telephonically speaking. And you can also email us. It's rick@rickemerson.com, rick@rickemerson.com. It is Monday, so...
Hi there, and hello.
And God bless you.
I was going
to
start...
We started with Wayne. That was just sort of a punt there at the last minute. We didn't know what to start with, because I had this... Here was my backup choice, in case you ever, anybody ever wonders about what goes on behind the curtain here at the Rick Emerson Radio Program. So I can turn my computer off. This is my backup choice to start today's program. This was my, this was the plan B for today's top of the show audio cut.
I'm out of style, but they're guaranteed to raise a smile. So may I introduce to you...
Really, because it's been too long since we've heard this.
Oh, I thought we lost that.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Fantastic. Somebody... Somebody told me that there's an entire album of this. I don't know where it is. I have yet to find it. I can't track it down. I have no additional information to go on.
I don't really want to stop the show. But I thought you might like to know that the singer's going to sing a song. And he wants you all to sing along. So let me introduce to you...
Here's the fascinating thing about this.
...the only Billy Shears and Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
I have no idea under what circumstances this audio cut was created. And I think if you play it from the actual beginning, as I will right now...
It was 20 years ago today that Sergeant Pepper taught the band to play.
It's funny how you can spot that it's Bill Cosby right away, though. He's got a particular inflection to his voice. He's got a certain cadence to the, and the way he...
So may I introduce to you...
Sort of a strangulation of the vowel sounds.
...known for all these years, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
I'd pay any price to have him do this entire record. Over, and then it comes back in like some sort of aural shotgun blast. Right back to your ears.
And it wants you all to sing along.
Oh, it's fantastic. I don't even know where I got this from.
The one and only Billy Shears.
I've had this for like 3 years. I don't know where. You showed up in the inbox one day, I guess. All right. It's 503-733-2970. See, so it could have been so much worse. You hear Wing at the top and you think, by God, that's bad. By God, that's among the worst sounds that have ever come out of my radio. And then we like to see, it's all relative. Like to contextualize things for you a bit. It's 503-733-2970 if you'd like to be part of today's program. And why would you not? That's the question you need to look deep into your own soul and ask you today. Why would you not want to be part of today's program? It's 503-733-2970. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com. It is Monday, which I can never tell how this works. So we are 10 days away, 11 days away. How many days away from the party are we? I can never tell. I can never remember how to do that.
10.
10, are you sure?
Yeah.
All right. So we are 10 days away from Rick Emerson Listener Party 10, Emerson History X, which is coming up not this coming Thursday, but next Thursday. 10 days away now. It has been confirmed. It's a fact-checking department of the Rick Emerson
Show.
Sarah just counted on her fingers like an ape.
At least I can figure it out.
I'm busy talking. I don't have time to count on my fingers. I can't talk and count on my fingers at the same time. It is now being confirmed. We are 10 days away from Rick Emerson Listener Party 10. By counting our fingers like children. Rick Emerson Listener Party 10 coming up next Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. at Barracuda. We've got more details coming up. Susan Reynolds is going to come in the studio today and confirm a little something for us. So that's coming up today. We have a mystery guest. Now, if you did not hear, If you didn't hear the Rick Emerson Show at about, I don't know, like 2:45 last Friday, you may not be privy to this, that we can now confirm the appearance of a special mystery guest. Mystery guest whose identity cannot, shall not, will not be revealed until that day, until next Thursday, 10 days from now, Thursday, April 19th. We're not going to announce it on the air. We're not going to tip our hand. We're not going to give any hints. We're not going to say who it is. A special mystery guest will be appearing at Rick Emerson Listener Party 10. That is all ye know and all ye need know. That is next Thursday, April 19th. So Susan Reynolds will come on today to talk a little bit about it. She'll come on to confirm this business of the mystery guest. Also booked for the evening, the mellifluous rocking sounds of Emerson Starship. We'll talk about them later on today. Hit Me Baby with a mini set of hard-rocking Britney Spears favorites. They'll be happening as well. And, of course, there's a regular cast of thousands. We got some taped greetings from folks who in the past from the show who were not able to be in attendance that night. We've got... Oh, and I hate me. I forgot to bring it in here at the top of the show. Because, you know, the listener party, the whole theme is going to be this sort of the 10-year history of this very fine radio program. And so I spent a lot of last night rooting around in my basement just assembling a bunch of random crap because I'm just a pack rat. I would like to say that it's all for prosperity. Prosperity. Mm-hmm. I'd like to say it's for a made-up word. I'd like to say it's for a word that I just now created. I would like to say that there's some greater purpose or reason for it, but really it's just that I'm just a trashy nitwit who can't throw anything away, and so I just got boxes and boxes and boxes full of crap in the basement, as do we all. So I went through my basement last night, and I got it down to one big rubberized, you know, like one of those big Rubbermaid box things, one of those big tubs. So I brought that in today, including some photographs that are so terrible. I have some photographs of myself, and I'm not talking from when I was like, this isn't like, remember when you were in high school and you had that silly hair and you had a big zit on your nose? I'm not talking about like a 15-year-old photograph. I'm talking about photographs from when I was an adult, photographs from when I was doing this program. Photographs that are among the worst things you've ever seen in your life. That I'm pretty sure are so bad they've never been seen by anybody.
So are we like blowing them up poster size and putting them on the wall?
Well, I have no shame. I might as well just embrace it and roll with it at this point. So that is all out of my car. Dave Zinn and I, Dave Zinn, who is the gatekeeper here at the Rick Emerson Show, will be the curator for the purposes of this party. He and I are going to be going through all of that today. Categorizing it, filing it, sorting it, getting it ready. We have decided on a logo for the party. That's being created upstairs as we speak. They're sort of tweaking and making it to do some decorations, all for next Thursday. So we'll talk more about that as the show rolls on today. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on in today's program, we have CNN radio correspondent. I'm flailing. I don't have the prep sheet.
Jim Roop and Lisa Goddard.
Oh, fantastic. Yes, that's what I was going to say. We have CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop coming up today, as well as Lisa Goddard is going to comment on the 100 days of the Democratic Congress, which I'm pretty sure expired today. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure that their 100 days expired today, so we'll see if they are, in fact, as ineffectual and useless as they might seem at first blush. We'll answer the musical, magical question, exactly how ungrateful is Scotty J? What else? Peter Carlin will be here to talk about last night's Sopranos. I myself will talk about the Sopranos here in just a moment. We had the Sopranos and Entourage, which debuted last night on HBO. What else? Big Geek Watch coming up today. Why does Portland hate your bladder? More discussion about Listener Party 10, as I said, Susan Reynolds, Clyde Lewis, and the people calling about various things already, so we'll get to those here in just a second, and whatnot. It's 503-733-2970. You can email it's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How are you today?
I am good.
All right.
I'm well.
You're positive
I'm
about well. That. Did your last chance
I am.
Change your answer?
No, I just... You know, some of us own bicycles, and we do ride them from time to time. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Look, now, there's no need to be caustic about it.
And when I was halfway to work today, it was sunny when I left my house, halfway to work, and then halfway to work, it was just full-on, like, hurricane-like wind and rain, a torrential downpour.
The midpoint, though?
Yeah, I had passed. I was down in... probably down about like 12th and Hawthorne, and you can't go all the way back up that hill again.
It's up a hill, and there's no point.
Yeah, it's up a huge hill, and my car's over at my friend's house anyway, so I would have had to wait for the bus, which means I wouldn't have gotten here so really late. So I had to keep going.
All right, I'm not saying you're grumpy. I'm really not. I'm just asking.
I'm not grumpy.
You seemed a little grumpy. Maybe it's just me.
You and I hadn't even exchanged words, and you're like, so how are you doing, sir?
Sometimes I come in and you greet me pleasantly. You with a lilt in your voice and a smile on your face. Some days I come in and you're just sort of angrily pecking at the keyboard. For no readily apparent reason. That would explain it, though, if you got caught in a downpour on the way here.
I got caught in a downpour, and I don't have the internet hooked up in my house yet, so every time I get to work, I'm like, I haven't looked at the computer. So I have like about 50 emails I haven't looked at.
The internet sucks, too. Even if it's just for like a week or 10 days or something, after you've had the internet, then you have to go back to not having it for a while, which is terrible. And I was lamenting this to Lara last night, that it's not that I don't want a bicycle. It's just that every day, there's seemingly some reason why I can't. Like today, I got a big, huge Rubbermaid tub. I can't put, as Carl from The Simpsons would say, you can't feed your family with a cod piece, and you can't strap a Rubbermaid tub on your back while you're bicycling. There's just no way around it. There's nothing, and it wouldn't fit in my bags. It wouldn't fit in those big pizza bag-looking things that I have. There's just no way to get my stuff here.
You don't have to make excuses for me.
Shut up! I do, too. You too. I see the way you look at me.
I thought we were going to start watching our weight for the thing. I have not been.
I've started to watch my weight by simply not eating. That's been my technique.
That's not good, Piggy. You got to eat something.
No, I'm not. I didn't eat yesterday. I'm not going to eat today. I'm not going to eat tomorrow.
So your idea to lose weight is just become anorexic.
That's it. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I've decided I'm simply
not
going to adjust.
But you're not burning any calories. You just are sitting here all day.
You know what? You burn calories just by... I burn calories just with the radiant power of my thoughts. Just this brain doesn't operate in a vacuum, Sarah. Just sitting around and thinking of these pop culture references. Listen, Whammo, Greg Brady, Knight Rider, Great Pop-Tarts. See? Right there, I burned like 3 calories coming up with those pop culture references.
I think we need to scale back in here again.
What?
I think we need to get the scale back in here again.
All right. Then... aversion therapy.
I went to the doctor this weekend, and I made the mistake of because there was a scale.
How much do I weigh?
That's just depressing.
Yeah, no, I don't even own a scale.
I'm like, I ride my bike. It's muscle. It's muscle.
I don't even own a scale. We have this conversation like twice a year. The thing is, what you and I have never done is the body fat analysis, because that's the deal that counts. Like, your weight doesn't... Guys don't care how much you weigh as long as you look all right.
Yeah.
As long as you're not spongy looking. And so I myself am very spongy looking, so I can make that observation. I'm just saying. So, no, this... I don't want to sound like a girl about it, although I suppose that ship has sailed. What did I have this weekend? I think I had a small cookie. I had like a cookie, and I think I had a sandwich last night. I'm pretty sure that's all I ate this weekend.
I ate so much crap last night because it was my friend's birthday, and they had a big Italian dinner with like lasagna and all kinds of bread and dips and mozzarella balls and everything.
By the time the party comes around, I'll look dead. Tim Riley's working the following stories for your edification today.
A blackout helicopter pilot from Oregon is shot down in Iraq. Imus apologizes for that racially insensitive remark, but does he really think deep down he said anything wrong? Al Sharpton said he won't accept an apology. He wants Imus fired. Good luck. That British sailor lady kidnapped by the Iranians thought they were building her a casket as they sawed and hammered away close to her. Pop. The wife of one of the members of Hanson becomes a dad.
Pop.
Fantastic.
Let's see. This email says, Rick has a case of the Mondays. Rick, if today is the 9th and the listener party is the 19th, how ever will we figure out how many days are until the party? If only there were some way we could take 9 away from 19 and be left with the answer. Did you and Scotty trade brains over the weekend? You know, the strange thing is, I really have... And then we'll get this call, and then we'll talk about... we get some other things. I don't have any recollection of what I did this weekend. Maybe that's because I just spent the whole weekend not eating and taking medication. But I have no idea. I took the last of my Vicodin this weekend, too. That was a sad day.
Did you see Grindhouse?
It's a sad moment. No, I didn't. I didn't leave the house much at all. I didn't see Grindhouse, and I feel bad because it opened at 4th place. Got beaten by that idiot, that ass from Napoleon Dynamite on a pair of skates. And 2 other movies, who I don't even know. Grindhouse opened really badly. It opened to 4th place. It very much underperformed, and I feel like I contributed to that, and I feel bad. I do feel bad about that. It was sad times at the Emerson household this weekend, because yesterday I took my final Vicodin that I had, and I took my final... what else did I take last night? I took some Vicodin.
Why?
This makes me sound like a junkie, doesn't it? These were all prescribed to me legally.
What, by your wife?
These were... No, by a doctor.
Okay.
A medical doctor. From the, I had those left over from the medical hair restoration thing. They just give you, like, more Vicodin than you need. And so it's like, you keep that stuff.
Why were you hoarding Vicodin?
I wasn't hoarding Vicodin.
What was wrong with you this weekend?
Let's be careful how we phrase these things. Rick Emerson was not hoarding Vicodin, because that makes me sound like a junkie, Sarah.
Oh.
We wouldn't want that. I was not hoarding. Hoarding is what my grandfather did with boxes of tampons and razor blades for no real reason in his tiny little house that was also filled with stacks and stacks of newspapers that he never got rid of. They had little kind of cubbyhole mazes worn through it over the years. In a house he never left till he was found dead in his own filth. I was not hoarding Vicodin. I was just saying that I had the medical hair restoration thing a while back, and they give you Vicodin for the procedure because, you know, it is a surgical operation. It is a surgery. It is a whatever. It's a cosmetic surgery, and so because they're actually doing that, they're perforating your head, so they give you drugs for that. And so they gave me some Vicodin, and those are just fantastic. But I got this kind of like a back thing going on, and I've been taking the Vicodin. I've been breaking them in half. Because I was dreading that day when they were going to be gone. And so last night, sadly, I took the last Vicodin. I took the final Vicodin. And it's like when you eat the last piece of pizza, you drink the last beer out of the six-pack. You have the last cookie in the package. You take that Vicodin, you know, you're happy that you're taking it, but then you're sad that it's going to be gone. You know what, I really do sound like a drug addict. Taking that final Vicodin, Sarah, is like opening the last present on Christmas morning. That's exactly what it's like. Hello.
I still don't know why you were taking it.
Because I had back pain. I had a back thing going on.
You heard of Tylenol?
Yeah, Tylenol, this was like an industrial strength backache. We're not going away.
What did you do that would have made your back hurt so bad?
Shut up.
I'm sorry.
Hauled around.
If you're just laying around your apartment all weekend.
Hauled around my girth. I carried around 200 pounds worth of fat. I mean, that really is it. You want me to come up with something fancier? I carried around my big-ass, flabby body. That's what I did. That's all I did. And I take aspirin by the fistful, which I don't say. I mean, everybody knows that. I mean, I just take
me
aspirin.
Too. I carry around a bottle with me.
I probably take 15 aspirin a day, so I know that I have no stomach lining left, but I think I've built up some sort of tolerance. So the aspirin just don't work anymore. I think aspirin, my body sees those, and my body just sort of goes like, ha, ha! And my body just sort of laughs it off, and the aspirin just are washed out of my system, and they do nothing. So I finally took the last of the Vicodin, and so I'm feeling kind of sad about that. So that's all I can remember from this weekend. That's the highlight or low light of my weekend.
And the Sopranos.
All I can remember, there's the Sopranos. But really, it's all about the Vicodin. It's 503-733-2970. Let's get a couple of these calls, and then... Oh, then I'll show you exactly how much my in-laws love me. Mike, you're in Canby. What's up?
Hey, Rick. Went and saw Grindhouse.
And so what did you think, sir?
Well, we needed your support because there was only three people in the theater when I went
really?
There.
Really?
And it was 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
At least I was high. I have an excuse, sort of.
Anyway, you missed one of the true great cinematic experiences of your life.
Everybody I know who's seen it. And I take that back. One guy emailed me and said, I'll give it a 5 out of 10. But, I mean, everybody else has just been like, it's the best thing that they've ever seen.
It is the best thing that I've ever seen. It is so much fun. It is so funny. It's everything. I mean, it's not up in the greatness of, you know, Citizen Kane. But as far as a geek and a nerd goes, it's a 10.
Yeah. The geeks I know who saw it just were apoplectic about how great it is. They were.
And it's one you got to go see more than once, too, because there's so much going on in the background that you got to go see it 2 or 3 times just to get the full flavor of the entire, movie.
Yeah, I told Laura last night that I felt guilty about not seeing Grindhouse and that it was going to be our obligation to see it sometime this week.
Well, it's such an assault on the senses that you just can't take it all in. And the second part, Death Car, is better than Planet Terror.
See, people are very evenly split in my estimation about whether Planet Terror or Death Proof are better than it is because of the Tarantino and Rodriguez, and people are very split about which one is better.
Well, Death Proof is a little more subtle than Planet Terror is.
I heard that the Tarantino one, of course, a lot of dialogue, and the Rodriguez one is just non-stop action.
Well, and on Death Proof, you really have to listen to the dialogue, and you have to look not at the main action, but what's going on in the back, because that's where a lot of Kurt Russell's action is just in the crowd scenes and looking at his facial expressions and what he's doing in the background.
How cool is it, though, to see that that guy's back in a cool, badass, you know, manly film?
Well, Bruce Willis was in Planet Terror.
That's what I heard. He's on the poster, yeah.
Excellent. You have to go see it.
I'm going to try to see it like either tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah, it's the holy grail of geek movies.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot.
All right, there you go. Hello. Hi there.
Hey,
it's got to have
legs. Like, just, I agree with most of what that fella said, but I'm gobsmacked that he liked the second part more than the first. I mean, the Tarantino, it was so much snappy dialogue that you really... the probability factor, it kind of goes down. Like, it just seems so rehearsed how the girls were all snappy about everything they had to say. But, and then it makes you think, could this really happen? That was never a question in Planet Terror.
Well, Terror is just zombies taking over a Texas town. Right?
I mean, also, though, it's just so much fun and hilarious. And, I mean, you know what's going to happen. It's completely unoriginal, but it's just a great film. I can't recommend Planet Terror enough. And Death Proof, it was pretty good, but it dragged a bit.
So. All right. Well, I'm definitely going to see it regardless. I just like to see people, you know, taking some chances and making a movie that's not predictable.
And obviously, the trailers were so hilarious. I'd love to see them do that, a double bill Machete and Thanksgiving. I mean, Machete, I was crying. My stomach hurt. I was laughing so much.
Excellent.
And I don't usually see films. I'll have to see that one again.
All right. Well, now I got to go see it. All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks. All right. See, now I feel bad. Open in fourth place. Just sad. All right. I don't have any time to talk about anything else except to say that, I have no time. Except to say this. Saturday. Okay. I haven't posted this on my webpage. I took a photograph of this, but I haven't put it up yet. Now, I don't know. Did anybody here? Well, none of us here celebrated Easter because we're all falling. I didn't even remember that yesterday was Easter. The thing is that, like when you quit being religious, it totally screws your internal calendar. Like, you have no sense of when anything is. You completely forget, like, when's Ash Wednesday and when the hell is, when the hell is the Ascension, and I don't even remember anymore. So yesterday was Easter, which I didn't even really realize until Friday. Really? Is that true? Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me. Scotty had, like, the huge Easter dinner with his family. That doesn't surprise me at all. So this is when I realized it was Easter. When on Saturday, the mail arrived from my in-laws, who were very, very, very Christian, in Salt Lake City. All right, and I'm gonna get Sarah and Tim's reaction to this. This is the Easter gift. And then I know this is no fair on you all, but I took a photo of it, and I'll post it in, like, 30 seconds. As soon as we're done, as soon as we go to break, I'll post the photo so you can see what I'm talking about. This is what I got from my relatives for Thanksgiving.
Okay, let's see it. What is that?
It is a stuffed...
Does it play music?
It is a stuffed Easter... It is an Easter rabbit doll who is apparently... He's apparently a rapping rabbit because you can see that... Instead of a clock around his neck a la Flavor Flav, he is wearing an Easter egg around his neck on a big piece of, like, gold rope. Okay, now would you like to put this up to the microphone?
Yes,
would you like to drop the...
It's dropped.
And by the way, if you look at the rabbit, his eyes are all half-lit.
He's
stoned. Like, the rabbit is clearly stoned. I will post this. In fact, let me do this right now. Let me just, before I do anything else.
Hip-hopping Easter Bunny.
Yes, he is, Sarah.
At least they're trying to, you know.
And then he sings, quote, the bunny rap.
Oh.
So I'm going to, let's try and go to Blogger right now. Blogger? I don't have access to the thing. let me just to post this right now. I'm going to post this, then we'll play the song, and then we'll go to break and so forth. Let me just, this computer doesn't hold my password for some reason, which I guess is
fine. Oh, really?
Some idiot weekender come in and just to post a bunch of, like, Asian tentacle porn on my blog or something. All right, let me put this photo up. So if we go to rickemerson.com, let's see, manage posts. Yes, thank you.
All right, compelling.
Let me hit the behind the curtain. People are hearing me post a blog. It's all very exciting. All right. Edit. And where's the big button that says publish? See, the thing is, they have to wait through the posting of this to hear the song. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. And publish. All right, there we go. Okay, if you go to rickemerson.com right now, you can see a photograph of the Easter Bunny, who is clearly high and wearing a gigantic green egg around his neck in manner of Flavor Flav. Who wants to hear the... And here's the thing. They paid $9 to send this to me from Utah. I don't know how much the actual thing cost. I mean, God love them, but I mean, they spent $9 to send this to me. All right, let's listen to this now. This is a Merry Easter from my in-laws.
Oh, my God, he dances.
So there you go. Happy Easter, everybody, from the Rick Emerson Program.
You don't need a picture. You need a freaking video of that thing.
He does
dances
a little dance.
And moves his head in
he
and
does.
Out.
He totally...
And lifts his arms up in the air like he just don't care.
He totally does the, oh, no, you didn't kind of head thing as he
It does go back and forth and side to side.
He does. There you go. Let's take a break. We'll come back. It's 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Back after this with Lisa Goddard. Don't go anywhere. Track down whatever rap artist they had to find who needed to pay the rent that week, who had to voice the Easter Bunny rap.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, that's the stuff I think about. Drinking alone on a corner somewhere right now, wishing he was dead. Why, hello. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Somebody sent me photographs of that Beastie Boys private show. Boy, this is just the whitest thing ever. I mean, I know it's Wyden Kennedy. Is it Wyden and Kennedy or Wyden Kennedy?
Wyden and Kennedy.
Wyden and Kennedy. So here's the Beastie Boys rapping and breakdancing in a brightly lit room filled with, like, bleachers and just rows and rows of white people.
Oh, that sounds bad.
I love the Beastie Boys. I really do. It's a generational imperative. I love the Beastie Boys, but goddamn, this looks like a white thing. All right, it's 503-733-2970. What am I doing here? In like 10 seconds, we'll talk to Lisa Goddard. Somebody's got a quick bit of Grindhouse news. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. I was just looking at IMDb.com tonight, and it shows that Machete is actually in pre-production by Robert Rodriguez.
Excellent, really. So Machete that's one of the trailers that they show during
that
Grindhouse.
That was the opening trailer. There's the opening trailer, and then there's three trailers in between.
Fantastic. Is there one? One is Eli Roth, one is Rob Zombie, and then there's somebody else.
Yeah, that is correct.
All right, what else did it show?
It also showed that Rodriguez has Sin City 2 and 3 in pre-production.
Fantastic. That's so cool.
It's a good geek year coming up.
Totally. Let's just hope that he continues. The thing about those guys is you want them to make just enough money that they can continue to make. They're like your favorite band. Not so much money that it ruins them, but you want them to be successful enough they can keep coming to your town. All right.
Exactly.
You. That's Chris. There you go. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill. Being on radio correspondent to the stars. Lisa Goddard. Hey there.
Hey there.
How are you?
I'm good. How was, in fact, your Easter?
I think I can only sum it up with this, Lisa. This is the thing that has to... That's really the only way that I can put my Easter.
Yes.
I liked that
was coming right out of the Don and Mike promo that was criticizing exactly that.
What? Really? What? What are you talking about?
Yeah, there's a Don and Mike promo that just aired in this break that was talking about how annoying cartoons are these days.
Oh, just now on our station, right?
Just
okay,
on
yeah.
On your station, yeah. And then out of that, it went straight to the Easter Bunny wrap. So it was almost, yeah.
It was perfect. This is actually from, this is not a cartoon, this is actually a talking, a rapping Easter Bunny toy that my in-laws sent me. They spent $9 just on shipping for this toy. I have no idea exactly how much. Apparently, it's filled with something called wire stiffener. I have no idea how much the toy itself costs, but they spent $9 to send me this to make sure that I would get it by Easter Sunday. God bless their Mormon hearts. And so it arrived Saturday. Here's the funny thing, and when we're done with this, unless you're able to look now, you can go to rickemerson.com and see a photograph of this toy. I have put a photograph of the Easter Bunny up at rickemerson.com. The bunny is all green. He is wearing, instead of a clock around his neck, he is wearing like a big sort of greenish gold chain and a big egg. And if you look at the rabbit's heavily lidded eyes, he is very clearly high.
Oh, yeah.
He is obviously just as high as a goddamned kite. So, anyway, and then of course, you know, you have to... It really is American. It is American culture at its finest.
It is. It's terrible.
No, it's, you know, but they send it with love. The great thing about my in-laws is that they do these things sincerely. They have absolutely, there's not a hint of sarcasm or irony anywhere in their bodies. They just have no, they have no notion. When they send things like this, it's because somewhere, this, well, let me just tell you this, that last, let's see, not last Christmas, but two Christmases ago, I actually got a copy of Bill O'Reilly's Who's Looking Out for You in hardcover from my mother-in-law because she honestly, sincerely looked herself in the mirror, looked in her eye and said, what would Rick like for Christmas? And then somewhere in her head, a small voice answered back, he'd love a Bill O'Reilly book. And so that's what I got. So God bless them. They do what they think is right. How was your Easter?
It was great. It was a good Easter.
Fantastic. I did some
lamb chops last night. I felt very manly. I made the chops myself from a leg of lamb.
Are lamb chops actually, is that a traditional Easter food?
I think lamb is a traditional Easter food for some people.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've never
had it, but I thought, you know, why not?
I was just going to say, I don't think I've ever had lamb in my life. I think my knowledge of lamb as a food comes from that Roald Dahl story, Lamb to the Slaughter.
Oh, great.
I think that's it. I think that's all I know about that. What is it? I know it's a dumb question.
It's very good. It's got a little more of, it's a little bit more gamey, I guess, but it's not a...
Gamey. Doesn't gamey describe something that's kind of gone off a little bit?
Okay, maybe I meant, like, you can taste it's got a little bit more of a wild flavor to it than your beef. It's different. It's good. It's got more flavor to it, I think.
None of these are adjectives that really make my mouth water.
It's delicious on the grill.
Okay, it's pretty on the inside.
Delicious. It's very, you know, I bet you've had some. Maybe you've ordered a gyro or gyro, depending on what you, and you may have ended up with lamb and not known it.
I think gyro was said by the same people who refer to things as being jalapenos. Just so you know.
Okay, it's good to know. It is good to know.
Hey, am I wrong about this? Is today the 100th day for the Democratic Congress?
No, you know, it's coming up. My count has it Friday.
All right. So when
the Democrats, you never know how they're counting.
Are they? Well, that's a good question. From when? I mean, are they counting from? They're not counting from the election, obviously. They're counting from the first day that they were in there. But I mean,
first day, January 4th, the day that they came into Congress.
So when Friday comes, obviously the Democrats are going to say that they're doing a great job, and the Republicans are going to say they're hapless.
Right.
Is the truth probably somewhere in the middle, or?
Yeah, the truth is in the middle. The Democrats certainly have been here more. They've had longer hours. They've had more hearings, especially oversight hearings on Iraq, on the Justice Department, on the president. A lot more of that going on. But the thing they're running into, which almost every Congress has in these divided years, maybe the last 10, 12 years, is that the Senate is very closely divided. So the House passed all these bills in those first 2 weeks, and now they're all hitting tough ground in the Senate. You know, the minimum wage increase, we talked about that. Both the House and Senate have passed that, but these are two Democratic houses, two chambers, that can't agree on how much of a tax cut to give small businesses or incentives to give small businesses. So they agree on everything else, but even on that issue, they're running into some roadblocks. So that it's taking longer. It typically does take longer to get bills all the way through Congress, and even under Newt Gingrich, they voted on everything in the Contract for America in the first 100 days, but they didn't, that was only in the House. A lot of that didn't make it to the Senate, didn't make it past the Senate.
That was going to actually be my question, is compared with Gingrich's, you know, his Congress with a contract with America in 1994, I was going to ask if the Democrats were more or less productive than that, because those guys were, in many ways, sort of the benchmark for laying down the law about what they were going to get done.
You know, it still remains to be seen, because I think that you could argue that the House has, this House under Pelosi, has passed more legislation out of the House than Gingrich did. A lot of those, some of those Contract for America ideas were not passed by the House. Many of them were, but those that were, many of them ran into tough times in the Senate or had a delay. A couple of them ultimately became law later on that year in September. Those were the main ones that people point to. So it remains to be seen when this Congress, House and Senate, can get these bills to the president, which they haven't done yet. But just looking at the first 100 days, Pelosi has passed more bills out of the House. But we have to see how many of those bills actually make it to the president to really compare it with Gingrich.
Have you seen that creepy photograph going around of Dick Cheney standing in the shrub staring at George Bush?
No, I haven't seen that.
I encourage you, again, not to sound like I'm waxing my own surfboard here, but I encourage you to go to rickemerson.com. It is an unaltered photograph. It is a screen capture from a video. It's George Bush addressing, I believe, probably the press corps. And he's out there in sort of the rose garden area, but then lurking off in the background. I swear to God.
Is that serious? I see that. That's
it's real. It's not fake. It's real. It's Dick Cheney standing off, hiding in what the Monty Python guys would call a shrubbery.
When was that?
This would have been last Wednesday, I believe.
That is very odd looking.
Doesn't that photograph just kind of confirm everything you've always secretly suspected? I mean, come on. That photograph is
very odd.
It's funny because my wife, God bless her, she spends a lot of her days up in a hospital dealing with crazy people. And so she doesn't really follow day-to-day politics as much as I do, just because she's so busy she can't follow the news cycle. And she actually said this to me last night. She said, well, I don't get it, after she looked at that photograph. And I said, well, come on, it's because Dick Cheney's evil. And I said, he's a puppet master. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, well, you know, Dick Cheney, you know, he's clearly the sort of Darth Vader. He's sort of this Emperor Palpatine, this specter behind the scenes. And she said, well, I mean, maybe you're the only one who feels that way about Dick Cheney. And I just sort of, I had to give up the conversation at that point. I was trying to convey to her how, regardless of what one's party affiliation is, one has to acknowledge that Dick Cheney just looms behind the scenes, just like a gigantic colossus, just calling all shots. And that photograph does seem to describe what all of us really suspect goes on there. Hey,
I'm amazed by that photo, and I'm amazed it's not everywhere on the internet, because that is a great photo.
It is actually from, and the reason I know that it's real is because I've actually seen the video clip that it's taken from. It is actually a screen capture. I think it was on a competing network, we'll put it that way, but it is a screen capture from a video clip. So it's great. It's just, and you can almost, the thought bubble above Cheney's head there is just, it writes itself. It's just a whole lot of George, say it just like we rehearsed. Say it just like I told you to say it, George, or there'll be a beating. Let me ask you two real brief questions, and I know you got to skedaddle here, both of them kind of unrelated to what we've been talking about here. Okay. One of which is, do you get the sense, and is there sort of a conventional sense, that McCain is already at this point relegated to sort of, he's fading away, he's already been relegated to a B-lister at this point?
I don't think he's a B-lister yet. I really don't. But I think that, you know, the stock market chart for him is definitely going down right now.
There does seem to be a sense that he's just sort of, for lack of a better word, that he's just kind of tired. You know what I mean? Just that he just seems sort of burned out. And maybe that's just the inevitable result of the campaign and the toll it takes on you. But if he seems this burned out now, there's just no way that he'll be a viable candidate come this time next year.
You know what I think the difference is, honestly? This campaign, the issues that he is sticking to, especially on Iraq, just don't feel like those kind of breath of fresh air, maverick issues he's basically sticking behind the president, versus in 2000, he was really going against the grain. He was saying things that no other Republicans were saying, talking about campaign finance, had the straight talk express. He felt like he had more energy because the issues were more dynamic, more sort of outside the box. Now he's more in the box. He's taking more of a traditional role, and I think that's affecting the perception that he's more tired. I think he's still putting a lot of energy in, but you know, I just think he's had such a dramatic change in strategy, appealing to the conservative base, trying to work that angle, that I think the people who initially just loved him in 2000 are left confused and aren't quite sure what to think.
Here's my follow-up question, and I cannot take credit for this. This is actually an observation that Dennis Miller was making this morning that made a lot of sense to me. Tell me what your just gut read on this is.
Okay.
He was noting that Hillary Clinton has raised apparently $26 million.
Yes.
And the Barack's figures that his people keep putting out are $25 million. And Miller was making this observation that $25 million is exactly the right figure for Barack Obama to claim that he has raised, because it makes him look, you know, like a very strong contender, you know, gives him a lot of muscle, perceptually speaking, but it still allows him to maintain that, you know, in Hillary's wake, let her be up front taking the hits kind of image. And so my question is, how important is it, that image to him right now, that Hillary Clinton be the front runner? And do we have any way of knowing if that $25 million figure is real? I mean, do we just have their word to go on there?
No, it's real. They report that. That is a real figure. That is real money. But, well, to the extent that you believe their reports, I mean, they've filled out reports that show every contribution that's in that $25 million, who gave it, where they live, those kinds of things. But, you know, of course, they could be lying, I guess, about that information, but we've got documents adding up to $25 million from the Barack Obama campaign. And, you know, I think that's a great observation. It's political drafting. It's a little NASCAR.
Right, exactly.
Doing. And I think that makes a lot of sense. What's interesting is I think people don't even have an idea. I think this is the first. Now people are taking him very seriously. People thought he had a great amount of momentum, but they're, oh, is he going to last? Does he have a serious campaign? Now people get that he is very legitimate politically, but I think people still don't realize how deep his fundraising organization goes. Hillary Clinton, of course, has had this in the works for 15 years, so she's got a very significant fundraising entire administration, practically. But Barack Obama, we've heard a lot about him raising money on the Internet, which he's done very well, I think about $8 million. That's fantastic money for the Internet right now. But what people aren't talking about is Barack Obama has a machine that is calling all over the country. I know people in Northern Virginia that got calls for fundraising from him that are your independent Republican Democrats, your swing voters. They didn't hear from any other candidate. But somehow Barack Obama is getting some lists. He called them, followed up, made sure they gave the money and said, hey, we need this much money because we're trying to meet a certain target by the end of March. And I mean, that's phenomenal to be targeting states that aren't in the mix like that at this point, and to be raising money that way indicates you've got a very serious infrastructure fundraising-wise. Now, we don't know how long it's going to last, but they handled these first 3 months very well.
It's going to be the best year of my life. And by the way, I just want to leave you with this final thought today, Lisa.
Hey.
There you go.
Outstanding. You know, and it helps to see the photo.
No, it's true. But really, you only get like 30% of it if you don't look at the photograph.
It's true.
Enjoy the rest of your day, Lisa.
All right.
All right, fantastic. Lisa Goddard on the Hill, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic.
I think she liked the bunny. I didn't notice before that the egg lights up when he's dancing.
Oh, totally. Well, that's, of course.
The head thing's pretty impressive.
It's the little harmonizing there that really sells it. And then? The thing is, like, that
oh,
final
the false
one,
end?
You think he's
yeah,
the fake ending, you think he's done, and then he's not done. He's got a reprise. All right, 503-733-2970. You can see a photograph of the rapping rabbit at blah, 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 blah. RickEmerson.com. Let's see, what do we have here? Rick. Let's see, did you know that the Wieden Kennedy offices here in Portland has a room that is used to describe? Now, this wasn't at the Wieden and Kennedy office, though, the Secret Beastie Boy show. This was at some...
Was some back parking lot or something.
Some slum somewhere. Some place where they rigged up portable toilets. It's 503-733-2970. What else do we have here? Rick, FYI, Grindhouse was also beaten by Meet the Robinsons. Oh, God, that hideous Disney thing. Which grossed $5.3 million, and are we done yet? Like the latest hideous, the latest,
what's that?
The latest attempt by Ice Cube to strip away any remaining shreds of street credibility that he ever had. Oh, Jesus. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Somebody sent me this email about, somebody sent me a breakout about them. Grindhouse versus, versus Wild Hogs. Let's see, do I have that here? No, I don't. Somebody sent me sort of an analysis of now here we go. Grindhouse opening weekend, $13 million. Wild Hogs opening weekend, $40 million. There you go. There's your America, ladies and gentlemen. Rick, you let Lisa Goddard down. Political NASCAR. I caught that reference. She was talking about the draft. She was looking for positive feedback in the pop culture reference, but your lack of sports knowledge let her down. Give her positive feedback. Do it now. I'm sorry. I was going the other way. When Lisa made that observation about NASCAR just now, I decided to give her affirmations by not commenting on it. I just let it go. In other words, you see, this is another guy. Did she just make a NASCAR reference? See, I wasn't going to comment on that. I'm not going to pander to her by constantly, you know, pointing out every cool reference she does. I'm going to give her the compliment of just, you know, just assuming that she would know those things. Let's see. All right, well, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. We'll take a break. Come back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Peter Carlin about the Sopranos premiere. What the hell else? Oh, yeah, Jim Roop. We'll also talk to Scotty J. We'll talk about listener party number 10, which is coming up 10 days from today. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.